Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
No, you sit when I tell you to sit. Get back in your kennel, dog.
Now on today's episode, I interview John Anderson from Jam Group, based out of Rotorua, New Zealand. Now John is a member of the Million Dollar Tradie Coaching Group. And John is a driven and resilient business owner who's grown significantly over the last 18 months, despite a soft economy. Now his journey is packed with challenges he's pushed through, and it's seriously motivating. Now John has some powerful lessons about what it takes to really grow a thriving business. Now, don't miss this episode if you want to discover real-world strategies behind serious growth.
Should I be in business? Should I just close the doors?
If you're listening today, you do nothing else and just you will dramatically increase the profitability of your business.
I'm genuinely excited for Monday. I really like to go to work now.
How cool is that?
How many people can say that?
Not as many as there should be, and it's sad.
You get that little hit of
that hit.
This is, like you say, traumatic, but it's also, it was a real change.
You're listening to the Profitable Tradie Podcast, where every week we help you make more money, get your time back, and make life and business a whole lot more fun. Join us as we transform your plumbing, electrical, or similar service business into a successful operation. Don't miss a beat. Hit the follow button. Let's get started. Well, welcome to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones, your host here. I've ditched Phil today and I have a special episode where I'm interviewing John Anderson from the Jam Group. So welcome, John. How are you, mate?
I'm really good.
Awesome to have you here, man.
Thank you.
Excited about today. So big welcome. I know you've had a couple of coffees. You're ready to go. I'm on my first one, so this is going to be dynamic. I was going back through the notes of when you joined the coaching program. I think it was late 2023. Somewhere around there, yep. And it actually makes pretty interesting reading. So I think when you joined, you were working sort of 65 hours a week. Money was pretty tight, and your margins were maybe around 14%. They were pretty tight, weren't they?
Yeah, they're horrible.
they were sketchy, shall we say. And you had a team, I think, of around eight between your employees and your subcontractors. Life was pretty stressful, and it was putting a lot of pressure on you and the family and Charlotte and the kids as well. But you knew the business had potential and you were just stuck about how to make it happen. So can you talk us through why it was important for you to make changes when you did and what you were looking to achieve?
I was working so hard and I was going nowhere, you know, feet going hard underwater. But
like a duck.
Yeah, pretending like I'm amazing. Well, the bank account was constantly drained and I didn't understand why. I just thought, we're doing all this work, everyone's busy, but we've got no money. Mm. I was crazy stressed, heaps of headaches. My health wasn't that great. I wasn't showing up for my family. I was a bit of a dick at home, just not intentionally, but...
It's hard when you're under pressure, isn't it? I mean, you're like when you go home and you're just tapped out from work, it's almost like there's nothing left.
You've given it all to something that... It's just a life-sucking thing if it's not set up right. You start to neglect the real important things.
I don't know if you're anything like me, but when I'm under pressure, I can get pretty irritable, and typically the people you love the most are the ones who actually cop it.
Yeah, because I suppose they're the ones that are just going to let it slide a little bit. And that's not the right way to act, but I suppose in some ways that's the love, you know. Dull.
Yeah. Well, it's normal, isn't it? It's normal to probably take for granted the people you love the most.
Yeah.
And they're probably the most accommodating. But the flippin' annoying thing is they're the ones you know you shouldn't be letting down, but they're the ones who do cop it.
Yeah, definitely. And it's sad.
It is, yeah. So very stressful. Tell me about these headaches.
I used to just get all this built-up tension in my neck, and it would just drive the worst headaches. But you just have to keep going. And well, at the time, I thought you just had to keep going. You didn't have sick leave, so.
Yeah, what's that about as a business owner? Like, you do the most work, but you get no sick leave.
Yeah, or you don't get paid either.
That's right. Well, if you don't perform, there's nothing.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and how long had you been feeling like that?
Four-ish years.
Mate, you're a tough rooster.
At the end of the day, try to start this business to do something for your family. So that whole mentality of I'm going to work real hard is what you try and embody, but it's not necessarily the right way.
I mean, it's understandable, and you do have to work hard, but I guess it's the constant grinding nature of it.
and like you said, feeling kind of stuck, that it's the same thing over and over again. How did you actually feel, I guess, you know, mentally and emotionally in yourself when you're in that situation?
I suppose it was pretty dark times. You start to doubt yourself, doubt where this is going. Should I be in business? Should I just close the doors, go back to a job? Because I was actually making pretty good money before I decided to start a business.
Trouble with that is obviously if you do that, then the stress will build up again because you'll be like, oh, I want to do my own thing and I've got all the challenges of being an employee again, which is kind of why we went into business in the first place. So you're a bit stuck both ways in some ways.
I agree.
So, John, what I'd love to understand is, can you tell us a little bit about your business?
Jam Group's a building maintenance and an electrical company. We mainly do commercial. However, we do a small bit of residential, only for select clients. Yeah.
And the type of clients for the commercial stuff, what sort of clients are they?
We target facility managers, large accommodations like hotels and motels. That's our niche.
Smart. So it's repeat work from larger clients.
Yeah, definitely.
Keeps the sales and marketing a bit more manageable as well.
Yeah, target the same thing. We know how to do it. We're really good at it. Yeah.
And I think there's a big lesson in that, being a sort of a niche specialist. It means you can set yourself up in terms of production, you know, for a certain type of work. You're not having to chop and change all the time. And it makes you an expert in the marketplace as well. And I think that makes it easier to actually market yourself.
And our team are just great at it. So and I can sell it easy because that's what we do. Yeah. We're the best. That's why you hire us.
That's right. I think it's funny, you know, a specialist beats a generalist all the time. You know, if you've got a heart problem, you know, you don't really go to the GP for that. You go to the heart surgeon, and you'll pay like five times as much for the heart surgeon, and you won't argue about the heart surgeon's fees either. So I think there's a definite lesson in being a specialist. So, mate, how does the business look now? So we talked about where it was. So how does it look now in terms of, you know, revenue, profitability?
So since we joined PT and really committed to it, we've doubled our revenue, which I didn't think could be a thing. And we also plan to double it again this year. In terms of profitability, we target on average 30% GP, and we're maintaining that pretty well. Obviously, it fluctuates.
Yeah. That's an average.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just bearing in mind, you were somewhere around 14%.
Yeah. And our overheads were wrong. And
yeah. So that's a doubling of revenue and a doubling of your gross margin. It's not like you're pricing crazy high as well. You know, pricing fairly and doing a good job as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
And our team are being more efficient.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we've set net targets, and we're actually beating them a little bit. So that's really encouraging.
Love to talk about that for a minute. Targets. Is that something you did before? Did you have targets before?
Actually, I did have targets. When I first ever started, I had this weird idea on a revenue target, and it was like $4,000 a month. And then that was the only target I ever set until joining PT. And then we sort of really looked into where we need to be, why we need to be there. So yes and no, but really no. They were just horrible targets that didn't mean anything really. It was just a plucked number.
Yeah, but the power of actually setting targets that related to what you want to achieve out of the business is very powerful. And it's kind of weird when you start setting them. It's kind of magical. You start hitting them. It's weird, right?
My first real target, I was, this is unachievable. But I'm going to set it because shoot for the stars.
Yeah.
We set it, and when we decided, right, it's happening, we're committing to this, we just keep getting closer and closer and closer. Then we hit it, and then we beat it, and we beat it, and we beat it. Okay, well, maybe it's time to set a new target.
That's right. It's a special, I guess, a special joy of mine doing this work, helping people, is like when they start setting targets, and then you can say something as simple in a coaching call as, hey, why don't you just increase the target a little bit? And they do, and then all of a sudden they start hitting that target as well. It's great because they think you're a legend as a coach, but really it's just there's something mental about, you know, mentally challenging, and also it makes you focus on the right stuff by setting a new target.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you start taking the action to make it happen.
And you go, well, where I am right now is not going to achieve that target.
Yeah.
we do not have enough staff, or we do not have enough admin team to back up our staff.
Yep. Or enough clients or jobs or whatever it is. So it shows you the bottleneck.
Yep.
And we do this. There's a bunch of metrics we use to, you know, work backwards to, you know, with our members, is like, if you need a certain amount of profit, you know how many jobs you're going to need, and you know how many leads you're going to need, and how many people you're going to need, so you can work that all out.
Yeah.
It buzzes me out that it's fun, right? Because you're creating that structure or that blueprint that you need to hit. Whereas before, most people are just flying blind and they're like, oh, well, I'll see what happens.
So, not a great plan.
No. Yeah, plan's important. John, so what was your role yourself, you know, previously, and now what is your role in the business?
So previously, I was do-it-all. I had no admin team, no management team. I was the manager, the accountant, the bookkeeper, the scheduler, everything. And nothing was getting done right. It was just a whole pile of half-sucked jobs all the time. And I was running from job to job to job to phone call to job to job to job to phone call. So it was chaotic.
Chaotic, yeah. And how does it look now?
And now my job's pretty cool. My job is like big picture stuff, sales and networking. Relationships is a massive part of my job. Maintaining current ones with our clients, catching up with them, talking through their problems, talking through how we're the best fit to solve their problem. And then also making new relationships, making new friends, just making people want Jam to be their fit.
It sounds a bit weird to say that, well, people might think it's a bit weird to say making friends, but actually sales in that sort of business-to-business context, people will do business with people they know, like, and trust.
100%.
Know, like, and trust in that order. So you got to know them, like them, and then trust them. And that is actually what friendship kind of is.
Yeah.
And so the people who are great at sales and building those relationships and getting those new clients are good at building friendships with potential clients and maintaining friendships with existing ones. Obviously, there's a work friendship, but you'll be actually mates with a lot of these people as well.
You eventually get to the, like, how are you? How's the kids?
Yeah.
You know? We also genuinely care.
That's just fun.
Yeah. That's a big part of my job.
Yep.
Also, building the business and giving direction, where we want to go.
Yep.
Setting targets, reviewing where we are and where we've missed and where we need to be.
So it's like you've gone through this cycle of growth as a person and as a business owner, from being the business, doing everything, probably half-assed a lot of the time, which is the experience for a lot of people listening. You're trying to do too much and you're actually doing an average job at everything, which is holding you back, to now being a business owner and actually working on the business to improve it, which is a very different thing.
It really is. But the experience of doing it is really beneficial. So you know what does not work,
yeah,
and makes you want to work harder or work smarter.
I think there's a big lesson there too, isn't there? Because hard work is definitely part of having a successful business. I mean, you don't get there without hard work, but it's not the only thing. And if it's just hard work, and I see this so often, it's really hard to watch people working so hard, thinking that if they work harder, it's going to make the difference. But it doesn't, because if you're doing the wrong stuff and just do it harder, you're actually going to screw yourself quicker.
I often find myself wanting to fall back into that trap.
Amen, I hear you.
Like a week ago, I was like, maybe I'll just chuck my penny on, I'll get out there, I'll finish that, and then we can get that done, because we wanted to do something else. Actually, my wife reined me in.
She's smart, like, lady, Charlotte.
Yeah, she's like, is that really what you should be doing? Also, when you start to rush, you don't do a great job, so... Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing, and this is a very important point. As you grow your business, there will be times where you're short of people or clients need something urgently. There's a fire burning out in the field on the job site. And yes, you can jump in and fix that problem, but you've only fixed the problem for the day. That problem, like, that'll keep popping up. So you actually have to stand back as a business owner and see, what's the actual structure problem here? What's the resourcing problem? What's the team problem that I need to solve? Maybe you need to hire someone. Maybe you need better scheduling, better project management, better quality assurance, whatever it is, that'll make those problems go away in the long term. And it is, I find it too, it's very easy to jump in and try and fix it, because we almost feel emotionally compelled to do that. But if we keep doing that, we're basically going to stuff the business.
But also, sometimes it's just easier. That easier road is to just
sort it. Because we know.
Just deal with that little problem. But if you deal with it every time, you're not, one, empowering your team, and two, not, like you say, solving that problem.
Yeah, and as the business grows, there'll be more and more of those little one-off situations that you could fix, and all of a sudden, your whole job is just fixing problems in your business. And I see that happen a lot. So I think that's a very wise learning you've had there. And it does take quite a bit of emotional strength to not do that.
And I freaking love the shiny things. And stuff like jumping back on the tools is quite shiny.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And I think getting back out in the field too, it really allows you to be present. Like, you can just smash something out. And I think all of us, you know, in the trades and the contracting field, we love doing and that's, we were good at it as well. That's why we're doing it. But if you obviously keep doing it, then you're not going to grow the business, which is, you know, basically the big job you have. So I think that's an amazing learning. Let's talk about results for you and the family. So what have the results from the business meant for you?
I think this is one of the coolest ones, is I'm happy. I'm actually happy. I used to think I was happy or whatever, but I now know wholeheartedly I'm happy. I wanted to say not tired, but I've got a toddler, so I am less tired.
You've got kids, so you're going to be tired for the next 20 years.
Yeah, I've had a major reduction in stress. I still get a headache every now and then, but it's not weekly. I'm not chaffing down handfuls of pills to deal with the pain. I have a way better mindset, so I'm turning up, I'm present for my family. I'm genuinely excited for Monday. I really like to go to work now.
How cool is that?
How many people can say that?
Not as many as there should be, and it's sad.
On Sunday, I'm like, oh, cool, work tomorrow. Make sure my uniform's ready. I'm excited. It's like the first day when you first start your new job. Every time, it feels like that. For the last 18 months, it's been like that. So, yeah, that's, I think, a really, really big win. I'm also not taking my laptop home. Like sometimes, but not every day. Where's my laptop? Take it home. I'm not taking it on holiday. And watching your kids grow, it's amazing. It's amazing watching them see the world, you know?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So probably something to learn from that. Man, what do you like to do for fun?
Like every middle-aged dude, I've taken up golf.
Yeah, I have as well. Fun, yep.
Yeah. It's slightly expensive with how crap I am. Cause
yeah, same here.
Smash balls to not where you're supposed to. Snowboarding. I'm into hunting. It's good to get out.
And great disconnect. Places to hunt around where you're based.
Yep, 100%. Amazing. And also recently, which is quite a new thing, I've started my private pilot license.
Wow.
That's one of the coolest things that I'm doing for fun at the moment, yeah.
That's amazing. Because the thing about businesses, too often we get so busy we don't actually have any time to do stuff that we enjoy, and the point of it is to be able to live a life that we enjoy, and the business serves that. So I think that's great that you're making time for that stuff now. This sounds sad, but my favourite show ever, Air Crash Investigation, I love that. So make sure you don't appear on that. That's all I can say.
Yeah, maybe I can just call you up and get some pointers.
That's right. If you're stuck in the edge, I know everything, every way to get out of every situation. So, John, look, you've made a bunch of changes and you've done some cool stuff. And I think there's a lot of lessons there for the listeners. So, mate, I think we might just delve into a few of them and you can share some of that wisdom. You have made some really good gains in terms of revenue from when we started working together. So for you, what have been the main drivers of your revenue growth?
A real big one was mindset. I used to think people giving me work was like I owed them something, because in some ways, I was desperate for work. We weren't making money. So now that you've given me this job, I need to do it for the absolute best deal possible. And, I don't feel good about charging you market rate because I was desperate. So mindset one was a real big change.
What was the mindset that you hold now?
I got the hard word from my coach, T.
Top lady, by the way.
I agree.
Yeah.
Basically, we came to the conclusion, you don't work for free. That is my mindset now. Actually, since I wrote that on a post-it and stuck it on my screen, we have just seen massive changes.
So, and that's so interesting, isn't it? Because you basically said, I'm going to charge properly and I'm going to stop being a pussy and, you know, just dropping my pants to get work. And most people listening to me think, well, you're going to lose work. You'll get less work. Why do you think, you know, you've got more work when it seems like you'd get less? What's changed there?
I think it's the confidence around, I am worth this. That's what we cost. You want the best. We're going to give you the best. You have to pay for that service. We're not ripping you off. We're charging what it's worth. That has been a massive change.
And it's so weird how more people are saying yes.
And more people are saying yes, because I'm walking in the room, we're confident. I'm confident with this number. And it also probably lets them think, well, these guys know what they're doing. They're going to deliver.
What else have you done in terms of driving the revenue?
We've started marketing quite a bit more. Lumpy Mail has been great.
So that's basically getting a list of the people, you know, the people that you think could be good clients, and sending them a sales letter with some cool lump in it.
Yep, definitely.
To get that process started.
Yep. And also, it's not just a list of anyone. We do the research. Do their company values align? Is this relationship going to be right for both of us?
There's a little nugget there, isn't there? Because when we want to grow our business or we're a little bit desperate for work, it's easy to actually take on anyone who's, you know, kind of got a pulse. It's like a, I don't know, desperate 16 or 17-year-old boy will, you know, say yes to anything. But anyway, let's not go there. The thing is, if you have good marketing, then you're able to be selective about who you work with. And I think that's important, because if you get the wrong clients, it really does stuff your business. Profitability, stress-wise, and you spend 80% of your time actually trying to help 20% of the clients who are just, they're not a good fit. In fact, it's probably better if they go and work for your competitors, because they can stuff their business.
Yep, 100%. It's not worth the stress or the time dealing with the drama that it's going to bring.
And it drags your whole team down. But if you're not marketing, you kind of have to take those people. And that's, I think, a big lesson that we've learned, you know, helping people in businesses, that marketing is always important, because it gives you power, it gives you some leverage, gives you some choice around who you work with, so you can actually take the top clients, not the bottom.
Yeah, the best fit for best. Your company.
Yeah. And it's funny, those people, if you're selective, they're, I don't know how, it's kind of cosmic, they actually want to work with you as well, because it resonates as with them.
Definitely.
So, mate, what would you say to other business owners who really want to grow their revenue, but they're stuck? You know, they've been just bashing away and it's just not happening for them.
Don't price from your pocket. You are the expert. Know your worth. Be confident that you can deliver what you're saying. Market. Get in front of the right audiences. Tell them why you are the best to solve their problem.
Profitability and cash flow is something that you've done really well. So let's look into that. You've made some great gains. So what did you actually do to improve the profitability and the cash flow of the business?
Back costing is everything.
Oh, yeah. Tell us more.
It gets drummed into you basically from day one. And I can understand why. You need to find out how good you've done or not done, so you can weed out the crap. We now understand what is work for making profit and what is good work. And there's no point chasing the work. We've also set targets. So we start pricing for profit. And then once we've done all that, we start again. We back cost that to make sure that we've done what we said we want to do.
It's amazing, isn't it? A lot of people, as you said, price to win a job rather than thinking about the profitability. It's impossible if you haven't put profit in the price to make profit at the end. If you did nothing else, if you're listening today, you do nothing else and just back cost all your jobs, you will dramatically increase the profitability of your business, because you'll see what's not working. And as you said, I don't know, let's say your gross margin on average is 30%. You will have a bunch of jobs that are under that. You'll have some that are 10%. You'll have some that are losing money. If you just cut those ones, your margin's up already and you're making more money. It's kind of magical, isn't it?
It is. That by far has been the biggest eye-opener.
And it's knowing and showing your numbers. It's like, if you look at the numbers, they tell you the story of the business, you make decisions. So when you started back costing and you're looking at the margins and doing your gross profit per hour, can you tell me about any type of work or type of clients that you figured out was just like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, we had a few where we were doing labor only.
Right.
Horrible. It was just a waste of time. We weren't making anything. It was like 1% the gross profit dollars per hour were, I can't even, I don't know, I blanked it out because... Yeah.
It was too traumatic.
Yeah, you're gone, red.
And that sort of links into your team and culture. I think that's very important for your business. You've done a really good job with this, and I know it's important to you. So why have you focused on culture so much?
I remember a time when I was working for someone, and it was about how I was treated. So I needed to leave a little early one day, and it was quite important. It was a pre-purchase inspection or something. Yeah. They basically said, no, you sit when I tell you to sit. Get back in your kennel, dog. That didn't sit too well with me. And I decided from then on that no one should be treated like that, and you don't treat people like that. That was part of why I really wanted to dive into culture with our business. We got together as a team. Basically, we were working on what our values were going to look like. We got all these amazing answers and what they wanted Jam to be and where Jam wanted to go. We sort of just worked out together what our values are going to be. That really got us super hardcore buy-in. They've made the values. Now we've got four pretty strong values and everyone is in. And I stress it during our interviews. These are our values. How do they align with you? What are your values? Because your team needs to be weapons. You know, they all need to work together well.
So what else have you done to really build that culture, John?
We've got KPIs, and we've got something around that, actually. It's quite cool. It's called the Jam Hammer. It's kind of like a little competition, because a little competition is good.
Love a little competition.
We've got a series of prizes because it's monthly. What we didn't want to do was just make KPIs a tick box. We wanted everyone to start living by them. Now everyone's sort of fighting to win. That was pretty cool to sort of get more buy-in with the KPIs.
And so it's about doing stuff that means the team has some fun together, but it's more than that. It's also focused on performance. And because the team, you know, things like KPIs, that helps them know that they're winning. And a team culture is always strong when the team's winning.
Definitely.
You know, it's like a sports team. So I think you've set up a culture where people can see that they're winning, which then kind of builds on itself as well. So I think that's huge.
One of our values is actually win. We have four values. It's respect and family and uplift and grow. But the last one is win. And if everyone knows they're winning, or we do all those other things, everyone wins. It gives you a reason to go hard. And it's really good to celebrate.
It is. In a past life, I did some study in management and stuff and leadership at university. The research clearly shows that people who are productive enjoy their work. If you try and make people happy, that doesn't necessarily make them productive. The loop is the other way around. So actually focusing on winning is very important, because winning shows people that they're productive and they actually feel good about that. So I think that's very smart. It's a great value. We have one here called Results Driven here at Profitable Trade. It's the same sort of thing. So you know actually how you're measuring up. Now, one of the things at the start of our chat today, we're talking about the time, and you're maxed out doing 65 hours a week, and that lovely ginger beard of yours was going grey. Can you talk us through the work you've done around getting your time under control and being more effective with your time personally?
So me and time aren't the greatest, because I'm super scattered. I love shiny things.
Yeah, an entrepreneur, mate. We're all struggle a bit with time.
Some type of spectrum thing, I
don't
know.
Yeah, exactly.
But to help with controlling that urge, default calendar, massive. Everything goes in there. I get notifications saying what I need to do, and I try and lump things together so I stay in that type of mindset. And then I also schedule time for the shiny things. Whatever, go and hit something with a hammer, just to allow me to have that release.
That default calendar is huge, because it's basically planning out how you're going to run your week every week. And so you know, for instance, if you've got to do site visits or sales calls, you know that there's a spot in your calendar where you do them.
Yeah.
And you tell the clients that's when you can do them, rather than what happens before that is you'll just drop everything when the client calls, you'll go and do it. And it causes a lot of fractured thinking and kind of urgency and chaos, doesn't it? Yep.
If you can also tell people I have these times scheduled, it also reinforces that my time is valuable. I can allocate this to you then, but right now I'm doing something else.
It sounds like a small thing, but that is so subtle and powerful for sales. When someone understands you're busy and your time is important, it builds that credibility factor.
Definitely.
Yeah. It kind of goes backwards. You'd think if you can just respond. I mean, you've got to be able to respond in a timely manner. It's, you're not going to make people wait for 2 weeks, but it might be a day or two, or you know, where it fits in for you. So that's a huge lesson. Anything else on the time front that you found helpful?
Staying out of the weeds, not trying to solve little day-to-day problems that just choose time. And it's not necessarily the most effective use of my time. I'm better working on the big rocks.
Yeah. It's hard though, isn't it? Because you get sucked into that stuff, but it's that awareness that if I keep doing that, I'm just going to keep getting the same kind of chaos.
And it's that they are kind of shiny things. They're easy.
Yep.
And you get that little hit of, I've sold something on the man.
And I think that's a big challenge growing a business, is you get more and more removed from actually doing the stuff that the business does. And so your impact on the business is more indirect.
Yep.
Which can be quite challenging, but it's an important kind of growth process we've got to go through if we want to grow a great business.
Definitely.
Yeah. Let's talk about building a structure for a business.
Yeah.
Which I know is something you're still working on. This is still work in progress, which is fine. It is for most of us. But how important has it been to understand that you need to build a structure in your business?
Going through the bottleneck graph, I know it's really important that we need the right people in the right places. Before, when it was just me, nothing was getting done. So I've found it really beneficial to put management in place, put admin in place, and we want to put estimation in place so that it's one person's job and they can focus on excelling at that one job instead of spreading it thin.
One thing I'd like to dig into here, because this is something I find for a lot of business owners, is when we've been out in the field ourselves doing the work, generating revenue, and then we get this idea of, hey, we need to put some people in the back office, ops, estimation, sales people, admin, all that sort of stuff. There's like, flipping heck, it feels like they're just a cost and they're not actually doing anything. How have you dealt with that fear of spending that money when it's like, oh, it's not actually generating work right now?
It is a really hard thing to get through your head, to know that every group of people on the ground doing the job, you need people to back them up. Everyone needs support. I'm not quite sure how I got over that hurdle, but as soon as I did, I noticed massive changes to freeing up my time. The efficiency on site became so much greater when we put an ops manager in place, because things weren't getting missed. Jobs were being prepped.
And our experience, we've seen this so many times, is that most often margins improve when you get some operations support, because you've been basically juggling so many balls, you didn't realize how many you were dropping. It is a massive part of it. And, for example, if you want to grow a business, you have to price more work. And if you don't have the ability to price that through estimation, you just can't grow. So you have to hire that person to actually, create the next level of growth.
And that's what we're definitely looking at now. We know we need to start pushing more estimates out the door, dealing with the inquiry coming in. We need to dedicate time to getting that stuff out the door.
Yeah. And I was interested how you said you don't know how you got over it. And I could probably hazard a guess. You probably saw someone else in the Million Dollar Tradie program say you should do it. And you were like, flipping heck, I'll just try it. And I think that's what it's like for most of us, isn't it? It's like, you just got to see someone else do it and like, well, maybe I'll give this a crack.
Now that you bring it up, most of the stuff you're told or guided towards, it's true. You guys aren't making this up. It's all proven. So it's about just trusting the process and going, okay, all right. I was guided that don't work for free. That worked out. So why wouldn't the next step work?
I think if you are a bit stuck, looking at what other successful people do is very important, because success does leave clues. And that's one of the reasons we love doing these pods, is just to share some of the learnings. And I can tell everyone listening that when you get the right people to support you in some management positions, your business does grow. And if you don't have them, it can't grow. It is impossible, because you have no capacity and you will just loop around the same sort of level of revenue over and over again until you basically die in a hole.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what we saw.
Yeah.
We saw like major growth.
Yeah. So you've obviously had some really great wins, John. You've had some tough times over the last little while with injury. Now, I know this is quite traumatic for you as well.
It is.
So I'll be gentle. Can you just talk us a little bit through the injury sustained and how that actually affected you and the business?
Yeah. This is, like you say, traumatic, but it was a real change this was the thing that really helped me go, I need to do something. So a couple of days before we were due back at work after our Christmas break, I was out wakeboarding with some friends. I just broke my leg. I broke my femur.
Yeah. You did a good job.
Yeah, I wasn't. Well, we don't do things by halves.
That's right.
Yeah. Blew my femur up. That was probably the most savage thing that I've ever been through. Ended up getting rushed to hospital and ended up in there for 9 days. The Sunday before we were due back at work, I had to call up my leading hand and say, can you just pop up to the hospital, Jacob? Come up here, mate.
Yeah.
And basically hand over everything to him and say, here's the shit storm. Please deal. And you know what? Props to Jacob. He really, really, really did well.
He stepped up.
He stepped up. He helped us through. And it was because, I think, he believed in Jam. And he believed in what we were doing. So he had our back.
Yeah, and so what were the lessons from this for you? Because it's funny how the cock-ups, the terrible times, have some silver linings, even though it doesn't feel like it at the time.
So essentially I was doing everything. I had nothing in place. I was handing him the mantle of crap. Suddenly I had to just figure out how we were going to make a business work without one person. I sort of decided that we needed to start making processes. We needed to give the team a game plan, put everyone in roles and give them direction, give them a step-by-step guide on how you win, so that if someone didn't show up tomorrow, everything can carry on. That was probably the biggest lesson. You can't just sit there thinking, I'll figure it out. You need a plan, you need processes, you need steps, you need team in place to back you up and support the business.
Yeah, it's amazing how those hard times actually force you to do the stuff that may have taken you a little bit longer to get done otherwise.
Yeah.
And how important has been getting outside help for you with the business success?
Massive. Massive. I was a tradie. I wasn't a business owner. I didn't know how to build a business. PT has been just crazy in guiding me to become a business owner, to build a business that can sort of eventually stand on its own 2 feet.
What have you found most helpful about the help you've received?
You can't get away with anything. Your coach is going to get you. So that really helps with going, okay, I just need to get this done and keep moving forward. Speaking of coaches, my coach T is, she's like quietly savage.
Mm-hmm.
But in that sort of, I'm not mad at you, I'm disappointed type thing, which just sort of cuts you up. So it makes you never want to stray.
It's almost like the disappointed dad approach, isn't
it? Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to underestimate T.
Yeah, I agree. Another really inspirational thing is boot camps. Boot camps just get you so inspired. You go there, you're in a room with like-minded people that are all there to win, and you can celebrate that, and it makes you want to win further. So you go to boot camp, you get all inspired, you come back and you're ready to dive back into your business and keep growing it, keep working forward. That's a really cool thing.
I think you've done some amazing things. You've learned some incredible lessons, some of it through adversity. And John, I think the cool thing for me is, as we're having this chat today, is that the best is yet to come for this business. I think you've made a fantastic start, and you've built a foundation and a platform for something that can be, you know, really, really special. And not only for you, but I know that's very important, obviously for your family, but for your team.
Yeah.
And then, mate, maybe you do realize this, but that impacts their families and the whole community as well. And I think that's something that I'm very excited about. You know, the work we do here is that the ripple effect of us owning a business is very widespread, and it goes right through the community. And so I think that's a real privilege and a pleasure. And so, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, where this goes for you. I think, having worked with a lot of people, I know that you'll be super successful moving forward. So it's been great to hang out today and chat about, you know, the results you've had. And I do wish you the best of luck for the future. And I don't think you need much luck, because you're going to crush it, man. So this has been fun.
Thank you.
Awesome, buddy. Great stuff.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Most tradies and contractors wait to see how much profit they make at the end of the year. But the smart operators are really clear on the profit they want to make, and then they reverse engineer their business to hit that target. Now tune into this episode where we discuss why profit targets are important and a simple process to help you get more profit from your business. Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.